So what's up, Ruggers? This is your host, Huntley Anderson, and I'm joined today on Beyond the Try Line by the iconic Christopher Green. Welcome, Sir Green.
Hey, what's up, man? I'm right. Nice to be here.
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
Yeah, great. You know, it's great to have you, Sir Green. So today, listeners, I want for Sir Green and myself to capture the experiences that he would have had with highlights of what new participants should focus on to become successful ruggers. Let's examine your introduction to the sport, Sir Green. Who is Christopher Green?
Well, I would say easygoing person, family orientated, and a hardcore rugby player.
Yeah. How did you get started in the sport?
Well, in high school, you know, it introduced to me in high school. I got a friend, you know, who was introduced to it first, and like him see me, you know, fit enough to be a part of the thing. So him come call me in class. And tell me, you know, like about 9th grade. You know?
Yeah.
Lions, them call them Lions, and you know, probably the rugby people them know about.
Yeah, man.
Be a part of the thing. You know?
Yeah.
So them call me and tell me, say them have a game, you know, rugby. And me never hear the name of the game before, but it sound rough.
Yeah.
You know, and him true know me as a rough person. You know? Is him come call me and thing, you know. Me did interested and thing, you know. So I just go around at the PE room and badge you that I did the coach. Until now, him still at the coach, is him me and say, excuse me.
Yeah, which school is this that we speak about?
Oh, that's Demontown High School. That was like Demontown Secondary.
Yeah.
At that time. Now it's Demontown High School. Yeah. He was the one like, we go see in the PE room and him start explain to you what the game is all about. Not even getting a chance to start play yet, but him introduce the game to you, like where we expect our weight to go cause or we get injured and hard licks and all of this thing. But you know, talking you still not take it serious like how he must talk it, you know, in time you don't know training start and them things you start realize, and then the next episode you go play a match, you realize where you're getting at.
And that's how most listeners, and that's how most listeners really get started, you know. Your friend invite you out, yeah. And once they invite you out, they just say it now. About, and it's like the rush, the adrenaline, the start kick, and you can't put it down back again, you know?
Yeah, because the thing is like, it's a man's sport. At that time, you see it like who more rougher. It's like it approved who more rougher in even the school.
Yeah.
You know? You see me say? So, yeah, if you stop playing, you know, you're going to look like you soft.
Yeah.
You see me, a friend, them are going to look on you soft. That are the people them who will play rugby, you know, because you have rugby friends and you have school friends differently, like in your classes and your peers like that, but your rugby people them know different in a school.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna walk and look at you like, oh, that's one of them we quit. You see me? Yeah. Say, we used to say that people quit off of the team and we laugh. You see me? Say you soft, you quit.
Yeah.
You see me?
And that is one of the things that I think when most persons start the sport, they might look at it as rough. And they don't even want to really follow through with the discipline aspect or the core values of the game, which is not necessarily the roughness, but just the discipline, the respect, the integrity, the passion, and the solidarity that the sport offer for individuals to really become something more or a better version of themselves. So that's why persons would really look at them and say that they are soft, because not because they quit, only because the game is rough, but the mere fact that they don't want to follow through in terms of what the game offer as the core values. You know?
I mean, like, just like life. I mean, like, most things you're going to buck up on in a life are going to be rough and tough. And if you're going to quit every time the thing get rough and tough, or you can't manage, or you tell yourself that you can't manage, I don't think you're going to make it in life.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to make it in life.
Yeah.
So I just said, just find something for me to get love, you know? And it fit me.
Very.
I feel like it fit me.
Yeah. Next question that I'm going to ask you, Sir Green. What is important to you before, during, and after a rugby game?
Preparation first. Like, first before you go in a game, you have to prepare, you know? In the game, you have to execute. You see me? Execute your preparation. You see me? And after the game, I don't know, enjoy whether win or lose. You see me?
Yeah. And that is one of
whether you win or lose, you enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that is something that I think that most of our younger kids on the block now, the new kids on the block, they don't really understand what is really important and the importance of after the game, that whether you win or you lose, you must be able to come to a tunnel or to shake the opponent's hand, knowing that you played
Congratulate your opponent. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Congratulate your opponent, whether win or lose, for a good fight.
Yeah. Next question. Being a rugby player in your time could be considered to be hectic. How did you manage it?
I don't know. Like my mom, yo. I got to give thanks to my mom, yo. Because she was one, like, financially, spiritually, emotionally. You see me? She always there for me. Then I come in, I'm a peeing up, but she take care of me. It's the mess. So if I forget money for buy boots or anything like that, she pay for it. It's the mess. I don't know. She play a big role, man.
Yeah.
It's the mess. Until this day, she wash me things them in time I come in, dirty stuff them, all of them things. It's the mess. Because them time I'm not really working.
Yeah.
It's the mess. So we're young kids then, you know. It's the mess. That's a thing about the future.
She put in all of that.
My mom put in a lot. She always tell me, she must not care what me come in and tell her what happened. Like she may have the sad story them to tell. She see the last part of the war. The sad stories that she hear it, things will happen to me, the injuries and all them things, that she probably would have to call the coach or anything like that and say something happened to me.
Yeah.
Because she lost, you see me? She lost everything, you see me? So, she had me, you know, I wouldn't say she my mom, you know?
Yeah, because mommy, and I say for most of the athletes that would have started in our context or within the Jamaican setting, is really the moms that really provide the support. At least 90% of our athletes would have been from single parent families, and where you do have fathers that play roles, is not where the athletes would really even reason with the father. It's more the mother that they're really reasoning with in terms of what are some of the highs and what are some of the lows on any given day, whether it is training or even match day. So that's really one positive as a lesson.
Them always there.
Yeah.
Them always there. And them always are listening to you. Yes, so. Even when your coach not listening to you, you see me upon certain aspects, you see me and say you have to go home to your mother. Remember, you always have to go home to your mother.
Yeah.
You don't know. All problems, all joy, everything, she go hear about it. Even the joy time too.
Yeah.
She get it too, you see me, and she hug me upon them things there and tell me say, that good on you. You see me, and say, make me feel like more and go more.
Yeah, especially when time you win those medals and stuff and you carry them home back to her. You know, it push you over the edge to say, moms, see how we talk and we go through the highs and lows. Here is a medal, here is a trophy. I can't recall me even having a medal or a trophy or anything, because everything that I would have received is straight to my mother that it would have really go. Yeah, that's one of the ways that I use to handle the hecticness of the sport as well. So whether it is from your generation or the newer generation, I know that is how many players really handle the challenges that come with the sport by really sharing with their parents or sharing with their significant other how it is that the day would have been and what it is like playing the sport now.
Yeah.
So next question that I'll ask you, Sir Green, how do you feel about watching local rugby games, whether it is 15s, 7s, 13s, or 9s?
I mean, like, now or back then?
Whether it is from back then or now.
Oh, well, all right. Like, back then, it's the only, like, level of rugby, like, high level of rugby you don't see.
Yeah.
So, you have to want to watch it. Because it help build your skills or your knowledge of the game. So all of them 7s, all of them 15s, we as schoolboy, as young youth, we dead it. Every one of the match them, we dead it.
Yeah.
No match miss we.
Yeah.
No match miss we. No, like, no. Yeah, we do it for recreational now. Like, we enjoy ourselves watching it now.
Yeah, especially with having the youngsters, seeing the youngsters, the new youngsters.
Yeah, we like watching them. We like watching them now. I would go every Saturday and watch them now.
Yeah.
Just like when I was young, I want to go every Saturday and watch just to learn.
Yeah, I would have seen you at the game, seen you supporting, whether it is 13s, whether it is 9s, whether it is 15s, whether it is 7s. You would have been at pretty much all the games. You understand?
I love rugby.
Yeah.
Especially my local rugby. Is it because you can tell somebody whether they might do wrong or right. Yeah. If they might do good or bad.
Yeah.
You as a person know. Like now, me watching now, like me can make corrections.
Yeah.
I can congratulate people. You know, cause a little congratulation can build a youth confidence.
Yeah. You know,
somebody see him, yeah. Somebody saw him, yeah. He do something, so you can show him, say, yeah. Somebody see you, what you do. Is it me, sir?
And that was one of the things that I admired about you as well, Sir Greens, is that at these games, you were always vocal, regardless of how coaches feel or athletes feel. You will just express. I think that I would say, you are my iconic athlete, iconic supporter, iconic coach. Really a legend.
Thanks, yo.
The local because you do share and you do give constructive criticism. So it's not where you're tearing down athletes or you're just finding negative. No. You were always finding positive in terms of share. No matter how it is that persons might think of it as being aggressive, because that is just your passion in terms of being a rugby player, you know, a rugby legend.
I mean, I can break it down smooth, but in that context, like how we're going to talk, it's certain stuff you don't say
yeah.
In rugby. You can't express it smoothly, as I said. People are not going to take it serious.
Yeah.
It's the way you say things and what you're saying make people take it serious, you know. So you don't know how to already. And I really just the voice. And I really like the loud voice, or if people talk loud, they got to listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What me I say? Ain't no bull.
Yeah. Know? Next question. Were there ever clashes with the youths and yourself? And how did you handle this?
I don't know. You'd have to describe the type of clash. I like plain or like vocal.
Both.
No. Okay. No. I never get clash with no young lads. Yeah. By the time the younger ones should start coming, cause I stopped playing like officially like when I was 28. I stopped playing. Yeah. So you finally say I look into it like you got young youths that come up. You got as much people where like, you know, senior can help them. And I really say like, you're going to leave peer young youth to just play by themselves. You got like senior people there. So it never happened for me as a big man to just still there playing. So me understand all of them things. Well, we leave them. We leave the youth and make them enjoy themselves. Make them get that experience.
Yeah.
Because the more experience you get in, the more you're going to learn rugby. All your experience where you get is learning. You're learning about a rugby.
Yeah. Every
so the more you travel, the more rugby you play, you learn more.
Yeah.
So if you me don't learn on certain things already and you still try to go up on the national team, you still want this, you have a next youth down there, 17, 18 year old. When something go on for him?
Yeah.
When I'm at 25, 26?
Yeah.
Because them time that you decide to leave, no. That's the reason why I leave it. Because I go up on the international scene and I realize this is 7s, sevens when you reach at least, it's 30. I think it's 30. Yeah. You finish. I mean, finish at 28, like probably two more years.
They could put like,
so there's a development for Jamaica. There were a lot of people who want to go up on tour, and I realized that people want to go get the experience from me.
Yeah.
So me, I look on it as a development situation. It's not a joyride, like, oh, you want to go up on every
tour. So it's not about
everybody get developed. Like, no, but me, no. Yeah. Like, the experience come off of traveling and playing. Yeah. You see me? So me, one, I was one of them was to, like, get the experience from me, get. Learn when me learn or more. Because probably your brain's much faster than my own. He probably a player brain's more fast. He go and he learn much more than you. So you have to give people chances. That's why I leave it. I leave it at that point.
The experience is all.
And me and none of the youth them. Me and none of the youth them never clash because you always give them chances. Yeah. You know much youth me get chance from Caribs team. We tell him, say, hey, this youth, he got to play. Because we remember when we were youth. When we were youth, we get the chance to come play on Caribs side.
I remember when I just come in, that been my super, super, super senior. And one of the things that I knew for a fact was that when you played Yuan Fang, Kevin, all of those players love. What I experienced from you guys was really a level of respect and what I would say open arms in terms of our development. We came in, we were fast, we were speedy, we were a little bit on the side, rough side. We weren't as technical as you because you would have had the experience. But at no point in time I could ever recall you guys from Caribs especially giving us a warm time in terms of development. You always had words of encouragement in terms of how it is that we develop. And while we were not pressing to be in the national setup because that gap would have been just so wide, what I experienced would have been you really mentoring us or the Caribs players mentoring us into becoming better athletes for the sport, which was really the greater good.
Because Caribs, as you say, we got so much people, we got so much positive too, good players on Caribs team. We could just settle. That's why we our system was like that, because we always had developed. So we developed so much that we have to leave the team now and start develop out of the team. Because just the whole interest was development. You get what I mean? I said, that's why Mr. Thompson pushed on with like develop. You always have to develop the sports, develop the sports, develop the sports. Don't think about yourself, develop the sports. He always just a shook that. That's it. If you're not do something to develop the sports, you don't know how it go with you and him. So you come like nobody to know how you can play good. The key of how you can play good, if you're not develop the sports, do nothing at all to develop the sports. You use nothing to Mr. Thompson. In our team, I don't know about other people, but in our team, it make you look like he's nobody.
Next question that I will ask: what it is about Fang as a teammate that made your offense so successful, and it brought out the best in you?
Fang was a reliable player, man. He was a reliable like winger. Never play wing, you know. As fast as me was, I didn't play wing. I was a creator. You see me? But some of the wingers, we got like Uriah and him and probably one or two more somebody. But Fang, when you give Fang the ball, when you make the space for Fang and you give him the ball, he's gonna do something. He's gonna show you like you didn't do that for do this. For him to come do nothing. You get what I mean? So like, you didn't make this big effort, pass through so much man, or so much players, and pass the ball to him, and he only got one somebody to beat, or nobody to beat, and you run, come back, and catch him. Yeah. He ain't gonna do that.
Finish.
He gonna go with 100%. He always give 100%, and you know me, I'm like a general, in my own way. Once you give your 100% on my field, God, you're more of a player than me. You're more than a player than me. Me, I tell you that. Once you give 100, I don't even know how much I'm giving. Now you got to tell me how much. How you going to say you're playing 100%? I can tell you that Fang is playing at 100% to me. I don't know if I'm playing at 100% to Fang. You see me? So me can say, man, always, to me, man, always a game 100%. Yeah. You see me? And then we down, and then with the team down, and then with him, one of the first man, him and Ramon, we start tell, we say, yo, come on, with that positiveness, build it up back. If we're going to fight, he's the first one to say, yo, no bother with that. You get me? So he wasn't the positive, like a positive brother to me. He's even like a brother. Yeah, he's like a brother, that positive brother. We always tell him, say, yo, leave that. Do this, man. Even if you want to do wrong, he's going to tell you, yo, easy. You see me? Yeah, he's an executor. You see me? We don't say that. You see me? And put me and him together, you're going to hard for you to beat us.
Fireworks. That's the only thing.
Don't tell you that. If you put me in that money, if you make me have a pass the ball game, you know? You see me? I say, cause he can't pass that good, you know. You see me? I say, but that runner, he's a powerful runner. I tell you, say, if you can't tackle good, you can't stop him.
That's true.
You can't stop him if you can't tackle properly. And he's a great tackler. Yeah. That are the next thing when we love.
A winger.
We love people who can tackle.
Yeah.
Your African tackle. You see me? And him have that lock. You see me? So, you don't know him, probably rub on a little polish from me. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You see me? You see me? Anyway, to give in, you have to give it, you know. You see me? It's a team sports. You see me? So your team make you who you are. You see me? And you make your team who they is. You see me? Make them great. So me don't really think about the individual thing like some people like, oh, this individual. No, I'm going to play individual rugby. If it called for the individual skill, me try it. Me try like, oh, my team now do what them do. I will not take up this in my hand one. Yeah. But not just Fang, but the whole club was a great thing to me. It was a great year.
What was the most rewarding experience for you over your rugby career?
Say that again.
What was your most rewarding experience over your rugby career?
Oh, I don't know. The Hong Kong Sevens. I would say the Hong Kong Sevens.
Playing for the West Indies.
Yeah, in the Hong Kong Sevens.
Just share a little bit on that.
Well, it was the highest level I ever played in my whole life. Man, it was one of the biggest. It still is the biggest, one of the biggest sevens in the world. So, and I get a trophy there, you know. And everybody good as you get a cup. You got teams that go there for years upon years upon years upon years, even more than Jamaica. Go there every year and they never won nothing.
Yeah.
So I have to look upon the experience as the highest in my whole lifetime playing rugby or my career in the rugby. The whole lifestyle, the whole experience are the highest.
Yeah.
Everything.
Listeners. We are back, Ruggers. Now it's time for us to look at the grassroots experience. How critical was the grassroots experience to your development, Sir Green?
Very critical. Very serious. I can't how you learn it. I saw you have to play it.
Yeah.
You get me? I'm going to give thanks again to Badjo. Him teach you the basic, right? You see, my only thing, he never did if we keep it going, but him teach it right.
Yeah.
And you see, when you get the basics right, your level of rugby playing, I got different.
Yeah.
But if you learn the thing good, Bridget, me, I tell you, for your fuck's sake, it's hard for you to change, especially when you go all the national training and all them way there, you go against some other people who can play the game. In a year, age group said, you're going to look away, you're going to look left behind.
Yeah.
You know? Someone I'm telling you for a fuck, say, when you just learn the game, the most important part that bridge now, and you have to learn, and how to learn, when how to do it the right and proper way. The thing that, passing, running with the ball, tackling, all of them things that you have to learn them things the proper.
Yeah.
because rugby is not like football. You get hurt.
Yep.
And it wouldn't hurt me get. You see me? I say, cause my grassroots situation is 50-50. You know? I'm not telling you, I get everything perfect.
Yeah.
I learn because choose me as a youth, very quick for learn and me interested in the game. Me catch on.
I was a natural athlete as well.
Yeah, me used to the track and field in a primary school. You see me? When me start go high school, like, me have a grind problem from high school, from primary school, so me did just slow down coming over in a high school. So by the time I start playing rugby again, I could pop.
Yeah.
You know, I could move fast enough. But the grassroots, me, I tell you, Bridging,
yeah.
it brings you for me. It is wicked for me, Bridging. Come, me, I tell you, my coach leave me at about one season.
Yeah.
And me have to move. When we go matches, as when me tell you, if something bad happened to me, you have to make sure yourself that not happen to you again, and how that happened to you. And you talk to somebody bad, your neck all them way there, I hope a neck injury me get and all them ways there. You see me, sir? Because I never learn it the proper way. So after a while, you learn, you keep on learning half of mistakes. That's how me get my grassroots. I don't put it up with everybody else. I don't think people shouldn't go through it. Like
yeah.
That. Or the kids, them should, like that. Them shouldn't learn the basic, technically.
Yeah. And
the technicality, I come with the basic, too.
And that is one of the investments.
You get what I'm saying? And I think you see that.
So not to cut your Sir Green, one of the investments that I would have considered is how to really invest back in grassroots development and develop it in such a way that the athletes that are coming over, regardless of where it is that they are from, who it is that they are playing for, or where it is that they aspire to be beyond their entry points into the sport, I think that there is greater emphasis that needs to be placed on how it is that the individuals start the game and interact with the individual components before we even reach the unit components. And when we talk about the individual components, we're talking about running, tackling, supporting. All of those are critical to you playing sport. Yeah. And the major part about those is that they all impact what we would say player welfare. So if the player don't know how to run, the player don't know how to pass, the player don't know how to tackle or defend,
he's like a poor man.
Yes.
in a society. You get what I'm saying? You didn't equip yourself. You see me? So that means I show you. So when you come up in the big game, and then you come up and play the game now, you're going to lack a lot of experience, lot of skills.
Yeah.
And you couldn't learn them long time. And I say, like, you're handicapped towards the situation, but you never know it. You never get taught. So you don't know
you
it.
Do have the,
or you don't get taught it the right way. So you don't do it the right way.
And when time already, when you play 5 or 6 years, when you play 5 or 6 years worth of rugby, and then you try to learn those fundamentals, it becomes difficult.
Yeah, I tell you, I would say if you reach at a certain age group. No, when you get influenced from your peers them now, because your peers them probably do a thing and your coach will tell you, no, and I said, do you know? But all these years, your peers them are do it. Like spinning the ball.
Meters. When it's just a flat pass or a pop pass you need.
It's just a flat pass, isn't it? I got a son playing rugby now. You know that. And the only, I taught him a couple little basic thing. It's a big man. If you don't make a long pass, don't spin the ball. Don't spin the ball. It takes too much energy out
there. And I think that him appreciates it. Him appreciates it. Just interacting with him, I would have seen where your influence would have just been in his DNA. I think he's just an out and out rugby beast. But a rugby beast because he learned the fundamentals from you as well as coaching that he would have had.
always talk to him. I don't coach him like the coaching part is just talking. I don't really do it physically with him. His coaches, I've got to beat them up, you know. Big up you, big up Romy, all of them guys, you see me? I said, we help him out, you see me? All the Calabar
coaching
staff, them.
The foundation, Roy Calvert at Siam,
and Gully, Gully, that's his name.
Romain, you have to give thanks to them. Next question that I'll ask you, Sir Green, what drove you to get up and train?
Oh, it was my mom again. At once, I was going to stop. The first time I go to Canada and come back, I was going to stop. I'll tell you this little story, and like I was on like corners and stuff like that, and somebody saw me one day, and when my mom come home, they tell my mom like, you know, like your son dep on corner, you know, and all them way. Them tell like me about 17 years old. Already make it to Canada, you know. Come home back, and then the summer me day here for the whole summer. I'm gonna move up and I'm gonna come in. So the lady tell my mother, say like, she see me up on corner. I don't know which lady tell her, because I probably wouldn't go to her. But I'm glad say she never tell me.
Yeah. At that time,
she start crying. You know when your mom start crying, you see me, and say, and thing, and me and she said, why you know go back and play rugby? I told her I ain't got nothing for do. So what do you want me for doing? We can't sit down in the yard. She said, so why? She remind me, said, why you don't go back to play rugby? So I tell her, I said, I'm not on the boots. She said, how much for the boots? I said, I don't know how much for the boots, because like, I push her off. You see me? I said, I don't know how much for boots now. No. She said, go on, go check how much for the boots. Them time they're on Sports Plus. And Lanzirai back then was Lanzirai, I can't remember. Lanzirai was the first boots I wear. $1,800 was $1,600, $1,700 was for the boots. And me tell my mother, I said the boots are for $2,000. And she did give me the $2,000. Just a next chance again, I try to tell myself, say, push her off.
Because you want to put it at
the high. Tell her $2,000. Yes, so and I really like more on the $2,000. More on, she said she don't have the money. So I'm just no one, I'm just the lifestyle, just I get attracted to me now. So, you know, really, you don't know, you're just getting at the sports, and they're like, you know, the sport 5-6 years, and you get, you know, immune to it now. Yeah, to what, you know, but still not 50, not even 50% a rugby player. You see me? It's just that I can play the game, but my mind in the game same way. You see me as a die-hearted rugby player or whatever. So she give me $2,000, I'm go and get the boots. I buy one of the best one, $1,800. And to me buy it for $1,800. Them give me a socks. Them said them give me a free socks. But me tell you this, I want a green sock. So I just motivate me. Must say my mother buy a boots. But I'm going and training. Them time we train down of the JDM.
By the air wing, close to the air wing.
Yeah. We used to train down there. Way down at the bottom. You see me? Don't we show you that cadet post? The cadet
them,
post.
Them normally place
right in front of the cadet
well,
post.
Close at the back gate.
No, you gotta go down. You gotta go down more, way down, like you got that dump now. That's down where the rugby field used to be.
That is on back to dump again.
Yeah. That's where we used to train. Yeah. We start, you know, I forgot to have bus fare now, you know. So, so she give me bus fare. Yes, I'm tell you how she playing for herself. She give me my bus fare in the evening. Make sure some have a little thing can buy some for eat to and all them way. So she probably wouldn't give me a $50 or a $30 or something. At that time, I said, I go training every evening until, don't know, I'm playing myself in a Caribs team. I start playing for Caribs. You see me? I said, most people have to go to a private school before them start pay. Immediately, I start paying for carriage. So people start look for me. You give me, I said, more time. Them will give me, like, me not lie, the club will give me bus fare sometime and thing, you know?
Yeah, them organized, right? Because that time we were playing at Cayman Estate.
Yeah, when we go in our matches, no rise, man. You got to find yourself out there at that time. Yeah, no rise. As I'm saying, I go to Cayman Estate from before you have taxes.
Wow, from up at the top of the road.
Go down on the donkey cart. Yeah, we go down on the donkey cart.
Whoa.
Yeah, God. Yeah. You still have a donkey cart, you're going to just ride, go down, man, no fuss, no fight. Sometimes we walk on big mangoes and stuff like that as youth. It's in 19, 18. Sometimes we have to club rugby. We had big boys on the club, although we're young. Just the same, we're still living like young, you know? Enjoy ourselves, said we.
So the next question that I'll ask you, Sir Green. Why is the grassroots support important to the future of the game?
Well, if you don't support grassroots, you know, it's important because if you don't support it, you're not going to have not the real good development of rugby.
So the next question that I'll ask you, Greens, is at what stage of your grassroots development did you validate your skills as being ready to take your game to the next level, like the senior rugby level?
Okay. Well, you know, so me never really validate it. People really look upon me and tell me I'm ready. You know, like, when me look upon myself as a real, like a rugby player, like me, I say, yeah, I know certain things. It's when me start playing for the West Indies team.
Because you...
Away like me about 21 year old. Yeah, them telling me I'm like 21 year old. That's when me look for myself as a rugby player. All along I learn. And you made the motion, I'm still a learn stuff, but me still know, say, yeah, you know certain things now where you can go at the next level. But all along from school, come straight through in a club rugby. I have myself just normal, just like a regular rugby player. A learning. Because at that time, I started playing club rugby when I was like 17. Yeah. From 17, 18, 19, 20. You know.
Yeah.
You're a little shuffling, up and down, you know? So I just saw me have it them time. I learned straight through that process then. I never have it like me. I take a next level, or even then I'm pimping on Caribs team. I never have it say, "Oh, me going up on the next level now," you know. Because I am still not the best. Nobody have me as the best player.
Yeah.
Nobody ever. Then I go up on Caribs. I wasn't even the best player in a school. You have like Noel, Roach. You got a whole heap of, and like now, you have a whole heap of good players coming out of school.
Because they were learning the fundamentals, as you said. Yes.
You got good coaches them time there. I ain't saying you got good coaches now, yes, but you have more. Now you probably have like 4 or 5 good coaches. Them time there, every school. Yeah, them coaches, unless the youth them not really catch you them time, as Munan said, financially it low, interest wise it low. People don't really know about rugby like no, so it's hard for kids and you know jump over upon the game and say them start.
Yeah,
to play,
yeah. I understand. So, what was your secret for your performance at the highest level, playing for West Indies?
Playing for West Indies. I just want to do my best. I always want to do 100%. You know? Or 110. Any how much? Over 100 or 100, Bridget. But I always want to do as much as me can. So that always fuel me.
Yeah.
Never yet relax. You know, like, yeah, you say, oh, I'm the man. I ain't got to work hard. You know? No, I always have it so I have to work hard. You see me? And that's why I tell him, man, when me come over, I tell him, say, that's why the camera pick you up, pick me up so much. Because me, I do a whole heap of work. You know, say most of the team, I'm not going to say they don't play, but it's like they pick me for tackles. When me get picked on West Indies, you know, and me get picked, it's like them pick me for tackle, you know. That's how the team build, you know. It's not everybody on the team can tackle perfectly, you know. So you got a different version of people on the team. So from the coach, look on me and tell me, say, Greeny, I want you to tackle like you never tackled before in your whole life. those are the words he give you, you know? Yeah, them, yeah, Mark Hewitt, them money with them, yeah, he's a soldier. He's the money that motivate you for the move, Calvary. Yeah. I tell you that. This is the last chance. You will never get this chance again. Those are the words he used to you. Yeah, take it. The man said, take it. This is going to be your last chance. Have it like this is your last chance. Yeah. You see? You see? And I like him not talk to you loud or anything, but the words when I used to you, make you want to go hard.
Because it is the
motivation. That's the next thing again. Yeah. Motivation. Motivation. Yeah. You know? That's what we not, most coach not do out in Jamaica, yeah. Like, sit back and see a problem with one player. Or three, four players, but what you don't sit down and talk to the whole group and draw him on one side and go, oh, what the problem with him? Why am I going through all of this thing? Yeah. First in my life, never watch back a match. I can't tell no lie. You can't tell no lie, you know. So you don't do this or you don't do that, you know. Because every match you play, you watch it back. And the man show you the mistake they make. So you will never make that mistake again. That's all. Yeah, that's my best time, man.
We are back, Ruggers. Now it's time for the legend to pick his rugby X team, the Green Lantern 7.
Them don't want me night.
Yeah, man.
You can't put myself in night 7. No, we don't want to go in night 7. All right. Chris Gayle. All right, you know Chris Gayle, right?
Yes.
Chris Gayle, all my life. Done, I'm play a whip of rugby with him. Let me see. That half of Vauxhall. You see, like, Caribs, who would I play with half of my team? And it's Noel. I don't know enough people remember Noel.
Yeah.
Noel. And you got a next guy who used to go Norman Man, little name, Little O'Neill.
Yeah.
He would be my scrummer. As long as life lives, that man, anything in a rugby, he would be my scrummer. The best come I've ever seen. Dunga.
Yeah.
Dunga.
Yeah, Mr.
My one of the best. You with them after me. Yeah, after me tell myself something, I'm done with the whip of rugby running up and down. See, my one of you with them, me see, will come after me, will really stand out. You know? Yeah, I'm stand out. Rough youth, isn't it? Let me see who again. St. Catherine. My youth name Marcel.
Marcel.
That's some, where they used to call him. I'm Marcel the magician.
Yeah,
Marcel and for my team, guy. I never see a person with a small body can play rugby so. We can use him brains. He mostly play with him brains. For real. All right. Me put in one. We don't say me next. So me have one more. Oh, Chino.
Chino.
Yeah. It's not being short people more play with Mula. Me and Gilly are tallest man for inside, you know.
Every single man we just list out, they are clinical tacklers. Ask two questions now. So what are your views on high performance environments?
See, that strong view may have still, you know, because that now you're going to reach the next level, because that are going to help you to reach the level of the international base teams, the best team them in the world, I shouldn't say. You see me? If you don't have them type of environment there, are you go through them type of environment there, you can't play and compete with the best in the world, because them have it too. And that them are used to. That more than so. Fiji, England, all of them. High performance system them deal with. Coaching, weightlifting, food, everything is high performance.
Is it applicable in our context? Can we create high performance?
Yeah, we can manage it, yeah. But sponsors, we need money. And I guess there's no accountant in rugby. I don't have to say. I don't know if nobody in a rugby don't know how to make money.
Yeah.
We don't know how to play rugby. We have to know how to make money, please. The footballer them don't know it neither. JFF, don't know how to do it neither. And we are falling in the same trap. We need to start making. The first thing, if we can't manage, we make some team overseas. Adapt the team them out here. Put them up for adoption. That's what I would say. If you can't manage your kids, them put them up for adoption.
It's like feed up.
You got a lot. Yes. Yes, sir.
It is not necessarily for the organizers of the sport locally to try and take up having high performance environments or maintaining high performance environments, but rather equip the respective groups or clubs or academies to basically manage themselves and facilitate funding or sponsorship through their arms. What needs to happen is that they then monitor how it is that those funding or funds are used, our equipment is used in order to provide the high performance environment. So it's almost like
decentralized. That's what I'm saying. You're the overseer.
Yeah, like decentralized roles. You're the
overseer.
So it's like decentralizing the roles of the respective groups, yeah, and allowing for those groups to manage themselves. But you as an organizer then provide support around that, because it would become now more sustainable than the actions of trying to control every group, every individual. It is just not possible. So it is really applicable in our environment, but it has to be where we change the model that we currently have now of how it is that the sport is managed and maintained. One of the things that I looked at as well is that most high performing environments, they do have what we call talent identification. It's not everybody is a part of that high-performance environment, but it's where once you identify that these are the talents within these respective groups, the groups with, you know, have their administrators that focus solely on developing these players for particular positions or components to then plug back into the greater system. So again, it removed the general notion that the organizers have to be policing the every action of individuals or groups, but more dealing with how it is that you decentralize but still keep tabs on these groups in where they are preparing players to fit back into the greater good for your national programs or programs that might last beyond. I also explore the whole thing of whether you get aid coming, but that aid cannot come in for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Is where you would get aid, whether it is in summer programs or Christmas programs or Easter programs, were individuals from the respective feeder clubs that you would have just identified would come prepare the environment or prepare the individuals on the best practices of how to execute a high performance program from point A to point B, and you make it an annual thing, or you make it something that is so consistent that the group overseas or the feeder club can now see the rewards of it. Whether it is taking those players into their for maybe 2 months, 3 months, not necessarily playing, but learning the system, it would go a far way than just allowing athletes to train every or when they are entering their peak period to go to competitions, whether it is regionally or internationally. So the mindset has to change. Can our local develop high performance environments such as the West Indies program?
Yeah. As the mayor say, you have to go the organizer them now. You see me, as well you said, them have got to find new ways and strategy to deal with it. Or take replica for something, somebody, some team or them way there, you get me? I say, but
yeah, if we do approach the programs like how the West Indies program would have set up, I do believe that we would have had enough clubs, because you don't need all the clubs or all the academies or all the groups to be a part of that high performance environment. It is where you would have had selected,
is who qualified.
Yeah, man, selected athletes that you identify to talent identification camp, whether you do those over a course of a year. Don't mix it with your sevens programs or your 15s programs. Do it separately. Have these camps, have baseline tests or baseline programs that facilitate performance-based skill development, and it allows the athlete to now take and say, these are the five drills or the five activities that I need to know for this camp. Can I make the breakthrough to validate whether or not I am ready to be in a high performance environment or an environment beyond what I'm exposed to now? There you have it, listeners, from Christopher Green, the icon from the local context. It is for us now to really take his experience, to take what it is that he would have shared, to use it to impact our development. It's key what it is that he would have shared. And I really hope that you as listeners take it and use it in a meaningful way. Thanks again, Sir Green. Words can't express how much it is that I appreciate you being here.
Same to you, man. I mean, always, anytime I can help, man, I'm there, man. Yeah. It's amazing.
Thank you, Ruggers, for listening to Beyond the Try Line. Stay tuned for the next episode. Rock, 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 rock